Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles this morning to John chapter 3. We read this and we open our lessons with this. John chapter 3, verse 16. You know it. For those visiting, we just say it, get it down in our heart. The more you hear it, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. I heard a member up in Pennsylvania say this. It blessed me. It attests to the power of the Word of God. He said, Pastor, the most significant thing that has happened to me up here in all the time that he's come. This is a professor. This is somebody who teaches in an educational institution. He said, this particular scripture read has changed my heart. He said, on campus, we had people with plaques, you know, making derogatory comments to people who have other lifestyles and condemning them. And his heart was condemned. He's not condemned, but pricked. He said, oh, no, that's not God. That's not the way God operates. God is love. Yes, he doesn't condone lifestyles like that, but he's a loving God. And this scripture will change your heart. It will change how you see people. It will change how you talk about people and how you feel about things. Your feelings, your thinking will be like God. Let's read this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to ask you, if you would, to turn over to Mark 11, 23, 22 and 23. Mark 11, 22 and 23. And I'm going to read some scripture as you're turning there. There's a particular scripture that we read that has some significance when we look at Mark 11, 22 and 23. 2 Corinthians 4, 13, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. So you can see here the spirit of faith is made up of a couple of ingredients here. And we're going to see it in Mark 11, 22 and 23. Faith is made up of some ingredients. And the scripture says that when we got born again, we all received a measure of what? Faith. What kind of faith? The God kind of faith. Not some watered down faith, but the God kind of faith. Now, when we go to Mark 11, 22, in the King James I'm going to read, and it says, and Jesus answering saith unto them. Who's he speaking to? Huh? What about the rest of you? You're not sure? It says, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Now you can read some of the other translations. It'll say have the faith of God, or have the God kind of faith. Or some translations say have the faith that God gives. There's another translation I particularly like. It's called the Centenary Translation. You can look it up in some of these books that have a number of translations. It says, take hold on God's faithfulness. See, a lot of people, you know, you talked about, you know, you talk to people about God's faithfulness, they'll say, oh yes, he's faithful. Ah. Well, this is part of it. You take hold of God's faithfulness. When you have faith in God, you have faith in his faithfulness. Isn't that not true? So let's continue. Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. So we can see here that if you have the God kind of faith, you're saying something and you're also not doubting something. Is that not true? So that's a good measure. If you're doubting something, you're not in faith. You may say you are, but if there's doubt, I'm talking about doubt in your heart, down here in the heart. You have doubt in the heart. I'm not talking about the head. We've all been there. I have. I've made professions of faith, got results, and the whole time my mind is saying, you ain't going to get it. You ain't going to get it. You ain't going to get it. And I said, yes, I am going to have it. And yes, I am going to do it. It was in my heart. I'm not talking about doubt in your head. I'm talking about doubt in your heart. And one thing for sure is that what's in your heart, you're going to talk about. So when somebody's in faith, they're going to say so. And a person that has doubt in their heart will say so also. They're going to say so. They're going to talk about it. So this says here, be thou cast into the sea and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. Believe what? That those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. So, you can see here, what are we to believe? Believe that God is good? Well, God is good. Believe that I'm healed? That's good. But if you believe that you're prosperous and you believe that you're healed and you believe that you're delivered, believing's a good thing. But you can sit here for 20 years and believe and not have any success, have no victory. You know why? Because you're saying something else. You believe one thing and are saying something else. And so if you're believing and saying something contrary to what you say you believe, that's not faith. That is not the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith, Jesus, God in Christ, by the Holy Ghost here, is speaking and saying what? He's saying, if you believe that the things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever he saith. So, what I want to take a moment first here and take a look at this and see, show you, and I'm going to reiterate revelation that Kenneth E. Hagin received from the Lord. This is not, he received revelation by the Holy Spirit into this particular scripture. But this is a key to the success in our life. What did we say in Joshua 1:8? If we do what? Let not this book of the law depart out of your mouth. And you meditate in it day and night, you shall have good success. So it's not only reading it, looking at it, meditating on it, professing it, affirming it is another way of saying it, muttering it another way. You know how we talk, we go down. Think about this. We spend time muttering about stuff under our breath. I mean, like we can hear some people, I'm telling you, I've had it over here. We're muttering anyways. muttering about stuff, mountains that we feel are in our life, and we're talking anyways. So let's say what we believe. What do we believe? And I'm going to say something else. If God does not give you a word of knowledge concerning your life and your situation, you have a more sure word of prophecy, the written word of God, that you can stand flat-footed on and say, I am healed. My body functions normally. Every organ and cell functions in the perfection God made it to function in. My bank accounts are full because God desires that I prosper. So even if you didn't have a word from the Lord, a word of knowledge about something in your life to make a correction, if you don't have that, you still have this. To do what? Profess. Say. Believe. Is that not true? And sometimes we're saying, I'm waiting on the Lord for a word. He already gave you a word. A more sure word. And yes, He may speak to you as you are making this profession of faith, and He may give you something specific, but if He doesn't, you profess. What do I mean by that? I decree that every parent here who has children does not have to worry about little Johnny and Susie. How are they going to grow up? What are they going to do? I'm so nervous about sending them to school. Why are you? Is your heart full of doubt and fear? Or are you standing up professing over your family, over your job, over your children? I say, my children will serve the Lord. I say, my children, no harm or hurt shall come to them. They are protected by the blood of Jesus. What are you saying about your family? What are you saying about your husband or wife? What are you saying? See, because the scripture talks about as this world grows darker and systems collapse, that men's hearts will do what? Fail them. Full of fear, full of doubt. Is your heart full of faith? Because if we meditate and keep our eyes on the distresses of this world, your heart will be. You've been delivered from darkness. You know, let me continue. So let's look at the first thing in Mark 11:23. Jesus talks about a few things here, doesn't he? He talks about the speaking part of faith first. He doesn't talk about believing first, does he? He talks about the speaking part of faith. So faith is made up of some things, isn't it? Some ingredients. I mean, we know from Romans 10:9-10, it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and what? Believe. So faith is made up of believing, but it's also made up of what? Speaking, confessing. We just got done reading that in 2 Corinthians 4:13. I believe, therefore I speak. And so these ingredients are key to our victory. Meditating in the Word of God and professing it and decreeing what will be. We are God in this earth. We are the body of Christ in the earth. So Jesus mentions the speaking part of faith three times and the believing part of faith once. So that ought to give us a key right there. And the Holy Ghost unfolded and revealed that to Brother Hagin when he was alive. And he says in his life he had up to that point, he had read the New Testament 150 times and hadn't seen that. So what do you think? You think maybe there's more that God can unravel or unfold to us? It takes the Holy Ghost to unveil and reveal the Word of God to us to be a success. And he concluded after that revelation to him and said, go teach my people faith. He said to him two things. He said, my people, the church, does not have a problem with their believing. They have a problem with their saying. And he said, you're going to have to teach three times as much on the saying part as the believing part. And you know that's true. Sometimes I reflect even in my own life. Sometimes your mouth gets out ahead. You start saying things and you need the Holy Ghost to say, what are you saying? Well, why are you saying that? Is that what you believe? Is that what you want to come to pass? And you go, No, I'm just dumb. Being dumb here. I'm missing it. Sorry. And you correct it. And you're then quick to do what? Quick to hear and slow to speak. So, the Bible doesn't say we will have what we believe, does it? It says we will have what we say. And although believing is a part of it, it is an ingredient, but the Bible, I'm reading the Bible, aren't I? It says we will have what we say, not what we believe. Because you can believe that you'll be saved and never make a profession of faith and you will go to hell. So saying is key. Another thing, if you're in faith, if you're living by faith, you're not silent. If you are in faith, you're not silent. Well, you know, I'm quiet. Really? I tell you, you talk long enough with people about things that interest them, positive or negative, and they be talking. Every one of us. Find something. You talk long enough with people, and you just listen to people. Just spend some time listening. Don't talk, just listen. And folks will inevitably talk about those things that either they like or dislike. They'll talk about it. Isn't that the truth? Now you could also, if you're silent, you could lose by default, just by not saying. I don't think I need to say. Well, guess what? You'll lose. There'll be no victory in your life. I'm not saying what I think. I'm saying what the Bible says here. Are we not reading the Bible? Whosoever shall say, unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe what? Believe the things you say. Believe the things you say what? Shall come to pass. I believe that God has already spoken to this ministry about what he has for us. But just like the promised land, if we talk about how hard, how it's going to be, there's giants in the land, and don't move, guess what? He'll find somebody else. And there's been enough prophecy that has come forth from the beginning of this ministry that if you look at it in the light of today, where we are, it has significance. See, Brother Dr. Price, when he was here in 1990, we were in this building 5 years. We had just basically moved in here. It's 85. This is 1990. Now, this is Apostle Price today, but this was Dr. Price back then. He's teaching along, as they say, just going along teaching. And he stopped and began to speak in tongues and to interpret. Some of you were here. And he said, and began to share some things, and said, I know you just moved in here. He said, it's real pretty, but you're not going to stay here. He said, you might as well just put a big for sale sign up on it. That's what he said and went 1990. And he said that what I have for this ministry, the people that I'm sending, won't fit in here. Now that seems, see, now, you know, you could sit there and go, yeah, but sure doesn't look full to me. See, you're looking in the natural. God said what he's sending, the people that he's sending, won't fit in here. That means this seats 3,000. Legally, you could fit more, but legally, a little less than 3,000. That means if it can't fit in here, that means we need something bigger. And I'm smart enough to know I don't know everything. And God knows some things and sees down the road and gives us a glimpse of his will. And he also said in that prophecy, he said, you could stay here, but I won't be in it. That's a strong statement. He said, you could stay here if you want, but I won't be in it. I'm moving. And I'll tell you one thing, I call this place sold. Because God has already decreed he's got another place. He already told us in 1990, put up a big for sale sign on it. That means I call it, what? S-O-L-D, sold. I call this building sold. Not something that we keep. See, some folks say, well, I think we're moving over there and we're going to stay here and it'll be the children. He didn't say that. He said, sold. That means he's got something better. He's got something bigger. And see, that's the first thing. We like to try to figure things out and we need to just say what he said. Think like he said. Rehearse and say what he said, not try to be figuring things out. We'll miss God, or we'll come up short. So if we're going to live by faith, if the just shall live by faith, you know that scripture in Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews, it says the just shall live by faith. Well, let's see. If we're going to live by faith, that means we're not only going to believe, but we're going to say. So the living part of faith predominantly is saying. I'm saying. I'm saying. I'm saying. I'm saying. I'm decreeing. I'm pronouncing. I'm saying. That's living by faith. I say what I believe. I decree what I believe. Now, if God gives me a word of knowledge and says something different, then we'll say that. Otherwise, I'm saying some things. What does that mean? I decree I'm not in debt. I decree my bank accounts are full. I decree I have the best. I have the best house to live in, the best car to drive. I decree that. Now, if you don't want to say that, then you just will come up short in life. Because that's what the Bible says right here. Whosoever shall say, and not doubt in their heart, but believe the things they say, shall come to pass. They shall have whatsoever they say. I'm thinking about, now just for time's sake, I'm thinking about a family here that's been a member of this church for a long time. And they've decreed some things, said some things. I'm not talking, there's others here. But I'm thinking about the successes that this family has had with their children, with the things that they've had, things that they've experienced. And I'm sure there's things that we don't know about, but I'm saying that this particular family said some things. They will do this. They will have this. And they decreed not only that their children would be a success, but they also, they would not have to pay for their children's education. They would not have to pay. They decreed. They said. And without putting them on the spot, they have put their children through college not spending one dime. And I'm talking about not any school, two boys through West Point and one girl who's in Harvard. Not a dime. Now, you can say, it's hard. Well, it's going to be hard for you. It will be hard. You just have to make up your mind. You're going to decree what you want and walk in the good things of God. Didn't say that things are just going to just drop off easy. But you've got to take it. It doesn't mean we're not going to have to work and we're just going to just kick back on our lazy boys. No, we're going to have to decree some things. We're going to have to take by faith. We're going to live by faith. What is that? Believe and say. Now, you know the scripture, faith without works is what? Dead. Morte. Means dead. Means nada. What else you want to say? Now, for the last few minutes here, I'm going to kind of jump ahead here. Let me make two other points here, or one point. Your mind, do you know that your voice, what you say, has more authority or dominance over your mind? Your mind, what you say has dominion over your mind. So when you're struggling, your mouth, what you say, get your mind and take control. Just the same way, you know, a lot of times we make professions of faith and your mind is saying a whole lot of stuff. Think about this in Mark 5, the woman with the issue of blood. I'm sure her mind was telling her, you had an issue of blood in that time, you were called unclean. If you went out in public or mingled with people, you violated the law and could have been killed. So her mind probably was saying, this is crazy. This is crazy, but I heard of Jesus. And I'm pressing my way through to get to him. And so if she had gone by her mind, her thinking, think about it, it said she'd spent all her money. It was nothing better. So she was in a bad strait, was she? Was she not? But her mouth took control. Her mouth took control. And so should we. When your mind is saying, we can't have this, we'll never do this, it doesn't look like we can do this, you better start saying. You better start decreeing. Because the Bible says, if you doubt not in your heart, but believe the things that you say shall come to pass, you shall have. You shall have. And what did Jesus say? He said, thy faith to the woman. What did he say? Thy faith has made thee whole. Whose faith? Her faith. Thy faith hath made thee whole. She had something to do about it. Yeah, God healed her, but the power of God was released because of her faith. And her faith, you know, when you look at that particular scripture, if you look up other translations in Mark 5, it says, I know I like the Amplified because it said when she heard of Jesus, verse 28, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. You read the Amplified, it said, for she kept saying. She kept saying. She kept saying. She kept saying. If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And if you look up that word in the Greek, it's lego. It just means to affirm over and over. She was affirming over and over and over what she believed, what she heard of Jesus, what he would do. And she said, I'm getting me that. I'm getting my healing. I'm getting my healing. I'm going to touch him and be healed. And she threw all caution, threw it out the door, didn't she not? Could have been killed. So her faith, you could say, fueled her and propelled her own mouth. Now I'm going to read something, and I've read from this little book before. Some of you've heard it, some of you've not, but I'm impressed to do this again. This little mini book, I don't know if they have any in the store. They may have a few, but it's called How to Write Your Own Ticket with God by Kenneth E. Hagin. And he shares in here how he had a vision. Of course, he had a number of visions. I think he had seven visions where Jesus appeared to him. And he appeared to him in this vision, and he shared some things with him about his ministry. He shared in this vision about things that were going to happen in the United States, in the world, and he said all of those things came to pass. And he said, just as Jesus was leaving, he was walking away. He said, Jesus, may I ask you a question? He said, you may. He said, I have these two sermons on the women with the woman with the issue of blood, and I feel like the Holy Spirit is trying to get additional revelation to me regarding this message, this scripture. And he said, is there more? He said, yes. And he said, I'm going to give it to you now. He said, he has been trying to get it to you, but you haven't been hooking up. You haven't connected. And he said, get a pencil out and write this down. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's what he told him. Write it down. 1, 2, 3, 4. Real simple. And this is what Jesus said. I'll tell you, if you just take this, because these principles are in Scripture. He said, this is Jesus said, if anybody, this is Jesus speaking to him now, in a vision, if anybody, anywhere, will take these four steps or put these four principles into operation, he will always receive whatever he wants from me or from God the Father. Always receive. Always receive. Always receive. Jesus said to him, if you put these four steps or principles into operation, you will always receive. Oh, I like that. That's no failure. Victory every time. So this is what he said. He said, I need to explain these four steps he gave me can be put into operation immediately. He said you can receive anything in the present tense, such as salvation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, healing for your body, spiritual victory, or finances. Anything that the Bible promises you now, you can receive now by taking these four steps. This is what he's telling them. However, some things, such as financial needs and the manifestation of some healings, may take time to develop, then the four steps become principles that you must put into practice over a period of time. It's not instant, but he said you will always receive. He said some healings and some financial things may take time, but if you'll put these four steps into operation, you will receive. So he said to him, Jesus said to him, step one. Jesus asked me this question. What was the first step the woman with the issue of blood took toward receiving her healing? This was a question Jesus asked him. And he said, the wrong answer. Jesus said, wrong. So he told him, let's go over there. Mark 5, back up a bit. Verse 28, well, we started in 25, but look at verse 28. Or you can look at verse 25, a certain woman with an issue of blood, 12 years, had suffered many things and many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, see, this isn't something that she did. She heard, right? She heard of Jesus from somebody else. So she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said. That's the first thing she did. She said. It's what Jesus said. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. This is the first thing she did. She said. In my vision, Jesus said, positive or negative, it is up to the individual. According to what the individual says, that shall he receive, positive or negative. You say it's hard, so it will be. Can't blame Jesus. Life and death, or death and life's in the power of the tongue. They that love the fruit thereof shall be satisfied from it. Jesus continued, he said, this is in the vision, this woman could have made a negative confession instead of a positive one. And that would have been what she received. She could have said, there's no use for me to go. I've suffered so long. 12 years I've been sick. All the best doctors have given up on my case. I've spent all of my living upon physicians. She could have. I'm not better, but growing worse. I have nothing to live for. I might as well die. She could have. He said, this is Jesus, if that had been what she said, that would have been what she received. She said, positive or negative. But she did not speak negatively. She spoke positively, for she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And it came to pass. And Jesus continues. He said, Jesus dictated to me during my vision, your action defeats you or puts you over. Your action defeats you or puts you over. According to your action, you receive or you are kept from receiving. According to your action. If you believe, then you move in that direction. And in the moving, the power of God is released in your behalf. Whether it's healing, finances, job, whatever it is. You move in that direction, and the power of God is released. And all the while you're moving, you're saying, I believe I have. I believe I shall do this. I believe I'm going to have this and do this. This is beyond the economics in our country. This is way beyond what the government can do for you. This is way beyond a paycheck. These are principles that the Master has given us to live by, that if we will do these four steps, we shall receive anything from Him. So He said, according to your action, you receive or you are kept from receiving. Your action defeats you or puts you over. And he said, he goes on, a woman with the issue of blood was regarded in the same category as a leper and was not to mix with the public. We know that according to the teaching of her religion. But her actions said, religion or no religion, I'm going to get my healing. This woman's action showed her faith. Her actions showed her faith. It would not have done the woman with the issue of blood any good to have said, if I may touch but his clothes, if she had not acted on what she said. She had to act. She had to take an action. That's the second. Number one was what? Say it. Number two was do it. This is what Jesus said. Say it is number one. Number two is do it. Do what you believe. Do what you say. Do it. Number three, receive it. It says she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. He said, I want you to notice something. Notice that the feeling and the healing followed the coming and the doing. The feeling and the healing followed her actions and her saying. So she had to receive it. And he also continued to say, he said, now Jesus said unto me, power is always present everywhere. He sent the Holy Spirit here. That's what he said. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. He said, so the power of God is present everywhere. He's everywhere. And his power is present, and our faith releases that power. Whose faith? Your faith. Now, he continues. Faith is an act. God is not going to do anything about your situation because he's already done something about it. He's already done something. He's done something about salvation, the Holy Spirit, healing, deliverance from demons, and it's now up to you to plug in. And how do you plug in? With your faith. So you have to say it, you have to do it, and you have to receive it. And the last thing that he said was, these are the four steps that Jesus told him. Simple. Anybody can follow this. You say it, you do it. You act on what you say. You receive it. And the last was you tell it. And he used this scripture. Verse 33 of that, he said, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and did what? Told him. She told him all the truth. And then he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. So it said, she came and told him, Jesus said to me, not only, well, Jesus, he said, but the whole crowd heard her. She not only told him, but the whole crowd heard her. She told him everything she had done. Then Jesus said to me, tell it so others may believe. Tell it so others may believe. Now this is what Brother Hagin said to him. Says, but you said if anyone, anybody, anywhere would take these four steps, they would receive from you whatever they wanted. Do you mean that people can receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit that way? Jesus said, most assuredly, yes. Then I said to him, Lord, what about Christians? So many believers need victory in various areas of their life. They have the world, the flesh, and the devil to deal with. Some need victory over the flesh. Some need victory over the devil. Some need victory over the world. And some need victory over all of it. Are you telling me, this is what he's saying, he's asking him, are you telling me that any believer anywhere can write a ticket of victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. They can do it? He said emphatically, yes. I'm telling you, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said you can have victory in every area of your life if you put these four principles into practice. You say it, you do it, you receive it, and you tell it. You say it, say what? Say what he promised. That's why it's important to say what he has said to this ministry. Not something different. Say it, do it, act in that direction. Not act like, hey, kumbaya, we're just going to sit here and not do anything. No. What's your first doing? Saying it. That is an action. Because if you believe, you're going to believe what you say shall come to pass. That really is your first action. We're going to say what we believe. And we're going to move in that direction. And we're going to receive it by faith. Then we're going to tell it. And then Jesus. Now, you know, this was Brother Hagin's. You know, if you have Jesus appear to you, some people wouldn't know what to do. I think about Pearson the other day. He said, Pearson, speak in tongues. I said, that's how some of us would be if Jesus appeared to you. You wouldn't know what to say. That's what you do. Well, some of us just wouldn't, I don't know what you do. I tell you the truth, I don't know what I would do either. If Jesus appeared to me, I'd bow, that's for sure. I'd honor him. And like anybody, I'd say, yes, sir. But he said, he continued when he said emphatically, they shall have victory over every area of their life. He said emphatically, yes. And this is what he said. Jesus continued, if they don't do it, this is the Christian now, it won't be done. It would be a waste of their time to pray for me to give them the victory. They have to write their own ticket. Some of us are saying, Lord, help me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, help me. He's already given you help. He's given you his word, and he's given you a voice. And he's given you a measure of the God kind of faith. Now you have to write the ticket. Write what ticket? Believe and say and decree. And so now this is what Brother Hagin said. He said, now Lord, you're going to have to give me some scripture to prove this. Your word says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And so this is what he wrote. He said, Jesus just smiled and said, all right. So he began to tell him. He said, there's a story, David and Goliath. And Brother Hagin said, no, those four steps are in that story? He said, yep. And he said, exactly. Those are the four steps he took. The very first thing David did was, He said, and you can go over there in First Samuel 17, and you can count them out. I've had them marked in my Bible, little circles around them. I've had them there. He said, go to 1 Samuel 17. He said five times. So he said some things. He said to Saul, You can count them out. Verse 32. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight the Philistines." Number 1. 34. And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear, and he took a lamb out of the flock." Number 2. Verse 37. And David said, Verse 39. David girded up the sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said, number 4. Verse 45, then said David to the Philistine. Number 5, he said some things. He said. And then, of course, you can go on. He said it before he acted upon it. So he said it. He did it. What did he do? He ran towards him. He did some things. He said he did what he said. And he said, "I'm going to take this guy down. And I'm going to take his head today. Feed his carcass to the birds." And he did. He ran towards him. And he received it. And what did he do? He told it. He decreed it. And so those four steps are in there. David had victory. And so will you if you put those four simple steps. Whenever you start facing a mountain, never face your mountain with your mouth closed. You face that mountain and you say some things. You decree some things. You say how it's going to be. Because if you do, and you doubt not in your heart, but believe the things that you say will come to pass, you will have whatsoever you say. And that mountain will be cast into the sea. Amen. Put those four simple steps into action. Say it. Do it. Receive it. And tell it. And Jesus said, if you do that, you will receive anybody, anywhere will receive anything from the Lord. Now, you know, some people can take that out of context and just say, you know, believe for things that aren't in the Bible. We're not talking about that. You know, some people say, I claim you. Really? Well, you're missing it already because the Bible says that you ask and receive not because you consume it upon your own lust. So you missed it already. But I'm talking about things that can be substantiated in the Word of God. Things that Jesus died for. Things that were paid for by the blood of Jesus and the resurrection. Those things are mine. Hallelujah. How many believers do I have in here? How many sayers do I have in here? How many people are going to be victorious in every area of their life? See, you know what's interesting? Sometimes, I think it's almost like Pastor Jesse, you know, when he says, you know, we don't need to be jacked up. We should come in jacked up. And sometimes we can go places and get all excited about worldly motivational speakers, or somebody's got the latest thing to make you $1 million or $10,000 or something. Or they got the latest pill to help you. But I'm talking about Jesus has given four steps that if you follow those, every time you will have victory. I'm telling you, nobody in this world will guarantee that. But Jesus did. If we'll follow that, we'll come up on victory side every single time. That means you can decree over your children. You can decree over your family. You can say what it will be. You know, folks will talk about, you know, you just don't know my husband or my wife. Well, is that what you want? Nobody said that you may not be walking through something. But what do you want? What do you desire? That's what you decree. That's what you say. What is it going to be like for you? Hallelujah. I say we have everything that God has promised. I say we have that all. I say we have a full house. I say, and I've decreed it for years, I say we have musicians, singers, band members, videographers, engineers. For what? Not for us. It's God's plan, God's desire. Hallelujah. And not just anybody, you know, not whosoever will, you know, I think I want to do that. That's not what I'm believing for. Doesn't mean we can't mature and grow. But I'm believing for the best. People that have a heart to serve God. Bring their talents into the church. So who gets glorified? God. And we do what? We live by faith. Hallelujah. That's why God instructed us to call in $80,000 a week. He didn't say call it. See, think about this. Faith calls those things that be not. If you had it, why would you need to exercise faith? If $80,000 a week was coming in every week, why would we have to exercise faith? You already have it. You begin to call in things that you don't have. Now, he instructed us with that particular figure. It could be $1,000 a week. It could be $500 a week. Whatever that is. But don't go through life not saying. Because you know what? You're saying something. Man, these bills, when are they ever going to end? Well, for you, they won't. Just seems like we go from one paycheck to the next. Just seems like we never have enough. For you, you will never have enough. You know what I confessed? And I'm living in it. I confessed I have more than I know what to do with. I have more than I know what to do with. And I kept saying it, kept saying it, kept saying it, kept saying it when I had two nickels to rub together. Kept saying it, and I'm beginning to live in it. Because if you don't say it, it'll never come to pass for you. And this has got nothing to do with economics in your life, your degrees, your pedigree, whether you got education. You know, you could have zero education. I don't see in here it says, whosoever is educated, whosoever lived on the right side of the tracks, whosoever is this color, whosoever is this education. It don't say that, does it? It says, whosoever shall say. Man, that ought to encourage somebody. Whosoever. Well, you know, I'm bright. It didn't say that. It said, whosoever. So that means I don't care what the conditions are in this country. Whosoever shall say. And you know what? I believe if enough Christians believe that and said it, the conditions would change. But see, we're talking about the conditions rather than what the conditions should be. And that goes with a lot of other stuff. If you don't get your saying connected with your believing, you could find your saying connected to your feelings. When your saying is connected to your believing, you'll doubt not and you will have what you say. But if your saying is connected to your feelings, you still will have what you say. This may be not like what you want. All right, let's unhook here. You got a song, or you just motor? He's motoring. All right. Father, we thank you.
Hallelujah.
We live life unlimited. Say that. I live life.
I live life
unlimited. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I live life unlimited. No limits. He said, whosoever shall have whatsoever. No limits. Father, we thank you today for words that you felt necessary to reveal and unfold, not only to Brother Hagin, but so that it could be told and written so we could believe, we could say, we could do, we can receive, and we can tell it. And we thank you, Father, that we live in victory and we live life unlimited in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.